Paul goes on to describe it. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That was his goal, to completely annihilate the church of God. That word church means the called out ones. These were ones whom God the Father had elected from eternity, and Christ had paid their debt, and now the Spirit had called out. And they stood in opposition to the works religion that Paul himself grew up under. As he said there in verse 14, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Profited. Sounds like preachers today. They're lining their pockets. They profit either by monetarily, what they gain, but popularity. Popularity is a big thing. But notice here, and zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Every religious organization has its traditions that those that preach for those organizations have to uphold. That's why I believe that any that preach the gospel aren't part of any organization. They're not even part of a so-called movement. We have to be careful, because there are those that say, well, that's that sovereign grace movement. Really? I'll tell you, if it's not taught of Christ, revealed by Christ, then it is of no value at all before Holy God. God is going to separate out his preachers. Paul stood alone. And any that preach the gospel today, I believe, are going to stand alone.
It's not how much we know, it's whether or not we're bowing to what light the Lord has given. And I'll tell you, as it's set forth before our eyes, I pray for a spirit of humility and repentance to bow. Our problem is that we don't like to say we were wrong. We don't like to say we didn't see so clearly. You think about that man that the Lord healed him with that spit of clay. You remember the first time when the Lord asked him, what do you see? Men as trees walking. The Lord didn't leave him there. But he confessed exactly what he saw. And the Lord touched him and made him whole. I'll tell you that this is what I pray for in our spirit. As we come to the Word, as the Lord manifests again through this Word and by His Spirit teaches us, may He give us humble hearts to believe the light. It says here that He may be, that ye may be the children of light. Now, it's not your believing that makes you the children of light, but this sort of faith is what is the manifestation of those who are children of light. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me, what, shall come to me. And you know, that's in the present tense, shall continue to come. Bow at his feet, cast herself at his feet. Lord, teach me.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And yet, Cain imagined, probably in sincerity, I don't see anything with regard to how Cain approached, which was in any way haphazard or just coming in any way, he determined that God was going to accept his offer. I believe that's why he was so angry when he did. But guess what? Here, we didn't read it yet, but in verse 8, David was displeased. When he saw how the Lord that executed his judgment on Uzzah. It says there in verse 8, David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. So this is our natural rebellious reaction whenever God executes his judgment, especially when it's people that might be close to us. It's one thing to talk about people out there that, okay, they're God sending them to hell, but suddenly you begin to look around and see your own family members. Where God has been pleased, at least to this point, to to leave them in their darkness. And don't you in your mind begin to think, well, maybe they are the Lord's. We start making excuses. But if they're not coming as God determined, then there is no reason why we should ever give them hope. Else that's where begins now this thought process that maybe God will lower his standard somehow. No. Either Christ paid their debt or he didn't. If he did, he will draw. But if he didn't, there's nothing you're going to do about it.